Hi, Delay. It's weird that no one is here.
Okay. Well, it's just me.
I'm gonna double check.
Okay.
Right. 970. Yeah. That is the link. Here we go.
Because let me. So is anyone else getting a lot of static electricity now that the weather's become drier? I just touched my desk and my external monitor went flash.
Yeah. That always makes me a little nervous. Yeah. There was an era of computers where that would have been deadly. That doesn't seem to be true anymore.
Yeah. It was a little weird to see the LCD monitor do this thing. I mean, that kind of reminds me of the old CRT days.
I've accidentally worn items of my laundry to work because this static. Learned to check myself before I leave the house in the winter.
It seems like you should just be able to like rub a cat on you and have it cling. So it's two after. We don't see. Well, Jeremy is out sick today. I can't remember whether Caitlin had a conflict, but we also have very light attendance, so maybe we'll give it just another minute or two. Okay. We'll give it to three after and see who else shows up. Oh, thank you, Autumn. Any other good cold weather anecdotes while we're waiting? All right. Well, it's three after, so we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to the PC meeting, everyone. I'm afraid Jeremy's out sick, and Caitlin's not available, so I'll be your host this morning. Let's see here. Announcements. Well, I suppose I could share my screen. So announcements. I guess I'll present in lieu of Jeremy. So SIG reports are due on December 18th. And so this is the regular, like, please, what is it, quarterly, please give PC an update on what's going on. It's as distinct from the prioritization work we've been doing. I see something in chat.
It's me, Todd. I wanted to let you know that I'm here. I had a little trouble joining.
Brilliant.
Yeah, let me know how I can be helpful right now. If you'd like, I can read through this, or I can do whatever's needed. I'm still coming up to speed.
Okay. Then I'll not throw you under the bus and I will not throw you into the hosting role.
Okay.
But we do have here, thank you for coming back and not just running away screaming when you had the opportunity. And thanks also to, and so I'm looking forward to having you back in that co-chair role. And thanks also to Alexis for stepping in and helping out while Caitlin was away. So, liaison updates from the CC.
Yeah, so I was away. They met the week of Thanksgiving. I was out, but I looked through the notes and just provided some summaries. They had some a new fo there's a new folio member, which is a I'm not going to try to pronounce that in Hungarian, but they are a vendor. That will be I'm not sure if they're offering folio, a hosted folio, or they're just working on some some apps to integrate with it. That was unclear to me, but anyway, new member, which is great. Is there anybody else now?
Is this the same Colto who had been involved early on?
Probably.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
Good.
doing
Good, good,
some
good.
user management work. Okay, but now they're members, which is awesome. So yeah.
Cool.
And then they continued on with that discussion they had a few weeks ago about the value of membership. So there were those 14 possible ideas that came up during WolfCon, and then folks voted on them. And then there were three that got the most votes, and so they sort of were following up on those. So I think there's going to be some groups formed to kind of delve a little bit deeper into those ideas. And then I wanted to surface the fact that again, following up from WolfCon, there were a bunch of things that we all the council said that that they would do. Two of them were for the PC, work on visibility of development requests and the dip slash the dip proposal, and create the updated list of folio modules with maintenance status, which I believe have those responsibilities have been passed on to some of the working groups. But I do know, however, they're going to have there's the next Tri-Council meeting is scheduled for or will be scheduled for July, July, January. And so we will be expected to give an update along with everybody else.
Great. Thank you. Let's see here. TC update. I think none of this is really super interesting to PC, but this is more offered by the way of surfacing stuff that happens in the background that takes up real time and isn't really often isn't visible. So one of the things w they dealt with was a proposal to upgrade the version of Docker that's in the build and deployment environments. So that's helping the infrastructure that the project provides. There's been a long-going discussion of technical options for how to handle like tenant global configuration. There's been some transitioning in how options, well, how module options are stored. And yeah, so there's a potential short-term fix that would be very fast, but wouldn't really help the back-end modules. And then there's a sort of longer term potential fix for changing an API or adding an API, and that would set us up better in the long run. It looks like the TC is looking more towards the long-term solution, which is great. But that's it's one of those things where where they're balancing interests. And then, oh yeah, related to the support windows that we'd all been talking about, there was a discussion of whether it's okay to use a particular framework the release candidate for a particular framework during development. So we know it might change during development. We've never allowed that before, but because our development cycles have gotten so long, something's in production when we start a development cycle, it's really close to end of life by the time we get out of it. And so the thought is to the proposal is to allow using Spring Boot, that's a Spring Boot release candidate, so that we get during development, so it goes into production later in the development cycle, and we have a longer window of support for that piece of our frameworks. So it's a strategic decision, and the TC decided that there were a number of stakeholders, particularly RMS, was not really in the room, and that RMS was a big stakeholder in this decision. So they'll be taking that up with RMS. So anyhow, a little window into the back end stuff that's usually invisible to people. Was there any RMS update?
There is. Hey, folks. So RMS met this Monday. So Ramson CSP9 will most likely be delayed to early January. And so more information to come on that. Right now, the group and it really I think is Oleski working with product owners and a couple other people are working on those roadmap dates for Trillium, as well as reviewing the spring calendar in relation to that. So we should have more information about Trillium dates in 2 weeks. And that is it.
Great, thank you. Let's see here. Action item reviews. Da, 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 da. Almost everything is Jeremy, although is Thomas with us today? No. Okay, well, we will skip the action item review because we don't have the right people here. Calendar calming proposal. So we'll hand that over to Charlotte and Alexis.
Yeah, hi, thank you. This topic grew out of a conversation I have had with some European colleagues, but also in the PC agenda planning meeting. So last week was a calm week. It was Thanksgiving. All the US libraries had holiday. So it was, a work week where at least us in Europe, we got to do a pile of stuff, each of us. So it was really kind of fulfilling, and you could see how if you had a week with no meetings, then all these important tasks we never get time to do, finally you could get your I could get my desk cleared. Alexis also mentioned that at Stanford they are having simply planning for weeks where there will be no meetings. And I will also say that I can see in several of the six I am attending the meetings here, the meetings are being canceled, but canceled maybe a couple of hours ahead of when the meeting is supposed to happen. And that does, yeah, you win an hour back, but it's not an hour you kind of can then spend on doing writing tasks where you typically need several hours to do that work. So if there is interest for it, then maybe if we could try and get a more general thinking that the six meets every other week, and maybe even also the councils could try and maybe once a month schedule for no meetings ahead of time. And if we could get it all in sync, And I realize it is like this enormous cruise ship or super tanker or what we should call it to try to change all these meetings. But maybe we could, if others find this useful and a way that we could optimize and make our work weeks more efficient, then maybe we could test out for 3 months where we schedule that maybe the last week in every month is meeting free. Oh, I don't know. That's just a suggestion. But I can see that maybe if just we could get things a little in sync, better planned, then we could give back more work time to all of us, all Folio colleagues. Alexis, I don't know if you have.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to say, like, from just personally from our experience at Stanford, we do it quarterly. We have a quarter, we call it quarterly calendar calming. And it's just you can plan, to Charlotte's point about being able to plan ahead, you know, like we set, so we have an admin who basically says, like, okay, this is, she looks at the calendar, she takes in a variety of factors, and she says, okay, these are the 4 weeks in 2026 when we're doing calendar calming, and then we all know right going forward so we can plan accordingly. So I like the planning ahead portion of that is what's key. You know it's coming, you know you can do your focused work, or if you have some other event you need to plan, you can do it. I kind of liked it. We had talked when we talked on Tuesday at PC Planning, someone mentioned that the CC only meets every other week, and I was sort of like, you know, should we do that? But, you know, if they have to cancel for whatever reason, then they only meet once a month, and that feels maybe like not enough. But this idea of maybe meeting, you know, the last week of the month is the week off or something like that. I think that's an interesting idea. I think it would be interesting to hear what other folks have done, whether it's in their Folio groups or otherwise, and think about some options. But I do like the idea, and I don't think we'll get less done. I honestly think we'll just become more efficient. That's just my sense.
Hey, Jennifer.
I think meeting overload is a real thing. Though I have to say, the data import group, SIG, we do meet weekly, but what we've done is we changed a little bit how we structure our meeting. So we have, the first is discussion, and then we do housekeeping afterwards, as a group. And I think, we're just trying this out. We just started because we have a whole new process. But I think that is working out well because we noticed that, in order to do work like create issues or, update issues, people just didn't have time outside of the meeting. So doing this as a group, like everyone saw it, and then, we could post, to Slack saying, hey, we did this as a group for people who weren't in the meeting. So I think that's worked well, even though, so it's kind of a mix of a working meeting and a regular meeting.
Charlotte.
So I've been thinking, in order for this to be efficient, then we need to see if we can get the count, at least the councils and all the six, you know, aligned around this. But what we could do is to that each of the SIG liaisons raise this question with the six and get their feedback. And by doing that, then we get a better sense if this is an idea that have any chance to fly, or it will be shut down. And then, you know, then we tried, and but I think if we can see if we can get feedback from the six, that's where to start.
I'm gonna call on myself next since I'm screen sharing and can't raise my hand. So maybe this is a good time to stop screen sharing for a moment. Yeah, I th So I can say from my own experience on the technical council, the technical council's actually had a lot of work and currently meets twice a week. The way, and I mean that's just an artifact of what the technical council's doing, and the way that's worked for TC is that the Monday meeting has become the business meeting where there's a regular structure and certain kind of a checklist of things that we go through. And then the Wednesday meeting is dedicated discussion. And so maybe one week out of six, there's nothing planned for the dedicated discussion, but the business meeting tends to finish early, tends to finish in about half an hour, maybe a little bit more. But again, that's TC adapting to the work of the TC. So over to you, Autumn.
Yeah, I just wanted to support this idea. I am finding it as a, in my day job, I'm a manager of a team, and that involves plenty of its own administrative overhead and meetings, and then adding in the folio time demands is a lot to manage. So I think if we're trying to sell this idea, everybody likes the idea of fewer meetings anyway, but sort of addressing the folks in the community who, are working at their institutions and trying to squeeze in time for folio, kind of signaling some acknowledgement or respect for that situation. Might be a good PR move.
Thank you. Thomas.
I like the idea. I'll play devil's advocate and say one of the concerns I would have with dropping down to every other week for CC would be we have a lot on our agenda for this year, and I'd be worried that we might not be able to address all of it. I'm sorry, I said CC, I mean PC. I'm in the wrong group right now. That said, I think that I don't know if it would have to be PC, CC, and TC that would have to adopt this pattern. It could possibly just be PC that does an every other week pattern. And I kind of would take it a step further and possibly say that PC meets ever on the even weeks. And then the SIGs meet on the odd weeks. So you have one week when the SIGs are meeting and maybe specialized committees, and then you have one week where PC is meeting. So that if you're just working the SIGs, you kind of get a break for a week off. And if you're only on PC, you get a break off. For those of us, though, that are in both, it would just lessen our schedules a little bit every other week. But
Okay. And I see Brooks had a comment or question in the chat about possibly going back to 90-minute meetings. My own reaction to that is only if needed. Okay, so I guess the question is there, I mean, there seems to be support for this idea. Is there a propo I mean, is there a proposal for next actions or a proposal for resolution, or do you want to let the idea percolate for a week and then? And then come back with a concrete here next steps. Charlotte.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good idea. Now we have aired this topic, and I hear an overall interest in if we could get some free some space for other work, and also, as Autumn mentioned, be respectful for that most of us, both at the institutions but also as the vendors, we have a normal work day as well, besides meetings. But I can maybe I can volunteer for writing up, a small proposal, and then we can discuss it again next meeting and see if this works and something we can share with the six and get their feedback. And then,
Great. Okay. So if our illustrious note taker could capture an action for Charlotte, that sounds splendid. So I do see that we are close to the bottom of the hour. In theory, we have a working group check-in, but we also have two we have a presentation from the support SIG and the working group charter review for the RMSPC roles. Are there quick or pressing updates from any of the working groups?
Just very quickly, the Community Parties Dashboard Group did go to the PO meeting yesterday. We have lots of notes. We have lots to talk about. It was super interesting and helpful. I don't need to go into the details now, but I can put our notes in the I can put our a link to our notes in the agenda, and then we can follow up later.
Great. Thank you. Well, and then with that, maybe I can hand this over to Jala for our support SIG presentation, and I hope I got your name close to correct.
You're close, yes. Hi, I'm Jale Fazelian. I'm the Associate Dean of Libraries at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and I am a part of the University of Missouri system. We're a consortium of libraries that went live on Folio in, oh my gosh, 2022. So it's been a little while. I'm going to share my screen here in just a second. I got to get on the right tab real quick. Sorry about that. You'd think I would have been prepared, but here we are. Okay, share, and then I'm gonna do a full screen here. Do you guys just see a full screen now? Because I can't see your faces. The
Yes,
yes,
follow your
perfect.
support thing.
Perfect. So I hope to leave plenty of time for questions, but I did just pull together some slides, mostly to keep myself on track as well. So, what is the Folio Support SIG, right? We get together weekly and review support tickets, assign them to the right development teams, and follow up with product owners or others to make sure that bugs are being corrected in an efficient and timely manner. In other words, we consider ourselves sort of the nags who weekly ping and bother people to make sure that tickets get addressed, and also make sure that the people who are submitting the tickets are answering questions as well, right? Product owners will ask a question, and we are just making sure that the conversation continues to flow so that issues are addressed quickly. Who are the support SIG members? There's a group of us. You might know some of these names, including Charlotte, who is here with us also. So it's Anya and Deborah, myself, Robert, Charlotte, Alyssa, and Thomas. And we're a mix of Folio, EBSCO, Index Data, and Implemented Libraries. Like I said, we meet weekly on Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern, and all the links to our meetings can be found in the Slack channel. Although, as Charlotte was kind of alluding to previously, we haven't had to meet every week recently. We just kind of look at the tickets, and if there's no new tickets, we're generally kind of canceling the meetings. But this, of course, is an ebb and flow. So as more libraries get moved on to Sunflower, we're going to meet more regularly because we're going to see an uptick in tickets, as we do with every new upgrade that Folio rolls out. We were asked to talk about trends and support. So overall, ticket submissions are declining, which we think is a good thing. And again, numbers of P1 and P2 priority tickets are also decreasing, which we also feel is very good, right? That means it's not a super hype, not that these problems aren't important, but they're not as important maybe as a P1 or a P2. And we noticed that an average ticket turnaround time is about 67 days. However, things that we've heard in support is that there are a lot too many service patches to cover the various bugs, and that is sometimes frustrating to the libraries. Although the overall service patches are kind of going towards stabilizing Folio, which we understand is very important and must happen, right? However, Trillium's delay is impacting the ability to address certain issues, and it is creating a longer turnaround time, which does create frustrations for staff who are working in Folio. That's sort of the quick and dirty of the support SIG. And so I just thought now's time for questions, and I'll stop sharing my screen so that you can we can all just chat. So I don't know. And of course, if I can't answer a question, I will make sure that Charlotte helps me answer those questions, or Thomas as well. So. I think we don't have some of the same issues in terms of bringing you certain things because we don't really have like one ticket that we're watching. We're watching like all the tickets, you know, so we're not bringing you one specific issue necessarily. But yes, Caitlin.
Thanks. One of the things we heard from the POs yesterday is that up to this point, we've been focusing on specific development tasks to prioritize, right? And they said it would be really helpful if instead of or in addition to that, we could focus on the problems that we're trying to solve. And so I think that that's a task for our subgroup to follow up on and think about how we might do that. But I kind of wonder, it seems like in a way your group might be in a good position to articulate some larger problems that we might want to prioritize. Things that are areas of recurring issues that need attention. Like if we were to think of this as kind of larger investment priorities,
Sure.
I'm just curious, would things pop up for you? Like if I said, hey, what are the larger problems that we need to solve, what is that something that your group would be able to answer?
I think we could. I don't want to just give you an off-the-cuff answer because I can't. I'm not always I recently have due to health issues and other things, I haven't been in every meeting in the last couple of months, so I don't want to give you the trend answer, but that's definitely something we can talk about. We meet pretty regularly, and we can start focusing on what are trends that we are seeing. I know for us, we tend to focus on what is a huge problem? What is really stopping work from getting done, or what is that th that doesn't have a workaround? And those are the things that we tend to focus on, making sure that those issues get addressed, especially when it's involved with acquisitions and money, because those give a lot of our libraries anxiety. And so how do we sort of quell some of that? But I can definitely bring this back to the team and say, you know, what kinds of what are the recurring issues that we are seeing over and over again?
Well, thanks. I mean, it's something to noodle on. I think that our group can also keep that in mind too and come back to you if we need some input. But I think Charlotte made the point that there are a lot of thin threads in implementation that just are kind of the source of ongoing friction. And so if there are any of those that we can like point out as more urgent than others or more problematic than others, your team might be helpful to us for getting input on that.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Todd.
Along with that, I'm wondering if there are if you're aware of issues where maybe the pain point has been there for a long time, but people have sort of stopped reporting. or the tickets have been out there for a long time. And well, yeah, it's like it's been out there, but it's not been addressed. So I'm just wondering if you have a way of keeping keeping that kind of thing alive.
Yes, and we actually in our wiki, we do have a sort of we have a lot of graphs that show us like how long a ticket has been open, and we go and look at those long open tickets and try to address well, and we do we continue to ping on them. There are tickets that have been open for a very long time that have not been addressed, and some of them do get pushed for, and they are legitimate reasons why maybe it's not being addressed in the next service patch or the next upgrade. But yeah, we do hear sometimes those pain points, and so I see. Yes, we do try to keep everyone on their toes. That is too true, whether for good or ill. But we do check those long-standing tickets. Maybe not every time, but we do check them fairly regularly to make sure that we are not forgetting about them. I know we just pinged one that I think has been open for over a year and said, "Hey, what's going on with this? Where are we with this? Can you give us something, some movement, any kind of a potential, plan for this? Maybe you can't get it done in the next even few rounds of a sprint, but where can this get on the agenda?" And so we know that not everything can be turned on a dime. We understand that PO's time is valuable. And they get pulled into meetings like this all the time too, right? So we get it. There's a capacity. But also, if you're not getting your work done or you're having to constantly do workarounds, that is a frustration from the library's perspective. And I don't know that we hear We, I don't know that we would know some of the answers of these pain points that are stopped being reported. Maybe that's something that we need to ask in a sort of a survey of, I don't know how we'd get that information unless we sent out like something of a survey of all libraries and expected maybe somebody to reach out from each of them. And I don't know that that's, is that the purview of the support SIG? Would we do that without working with this group or some other larger entity? I think we could maybe do that in conjunction, but I don't know that that's our sole role, or do we have the, now I don't want to say the right, but I think you understand what I'm saying. I don't want to step on toes. We don't, we're just one of many SIGs, right?
Thank you. Think Caitlin had her hand up for a while.
I forgot to put it down. I'm transitioning from Teams to Zoom. I'm just not back with it yet, so I'm good. Thank you.
Well, if there are no other questions, you can always chime into our Slack channel and send us a message or ask us a question there. Anya and Charlotte are usually really on it, but we all chime in from time to time. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie.
And then with that, I think we get to hand it over to Autumn for the review of the RMS PC roles working group charter.
Yeah, shoot, it's my turn. Would
I can
someone
take
mind?
notes.
Thank you, Jennifer. All right. I will share quickly here. Here we go. All right. So we've had a somewhat spotty meeting schedule in the past month just due to various life interruptions and holidays and things. But we have had some good discussion about the scope of the group, especially. The process by which the Release Management Stakeholders Group kind of drives development priorities and makes decisions is our, I'd say, our primary focus. We're just hoping to understand that a little more. I don't think anyone has a bird's eye view of that, at least within the PC, and probably in the community too. And in the that's kind of where we were, our scope discussions were centered. Like, as we learn more, in our environmental scan, does the group have room to make recommendations about the underlying structure of the community, like the group itself and the way folks, let me share this in the chat for you too, so you can get to it.
I couldn't do that. Oh, all right.
Scrapped it. Oh, thank you, John. Yeah, and those of you in the group, please feel free to chime in. That's a sort of quick and dirty summary, but the upshot is that the recommendations, kind of the deliverables that we're thinking about, may include some recommendations that get at like governance and sort of the, what's the word, hierarchy that we're working with. You know, we talked in the shoulder meetings at WolfCon about the way the models that other open source projects use. We heard about an interesting example from Jeremy where the release manager is appointed for every development cycle. So there's a different release manager each time and a different like documentation manager each time. So we were like, do we have the ability to propose something like that based on the observations that come out of our work? So that's kind of built into our charter here, but also a question we wanted to bring to the larger group, and we're interested to hear your thoughts on that. Our hope is to both document how things are happening now, to make some suggestions and perhaps even updates to charters about the process so that it's more codified, but also this is just transparency, right? So that's the RMS side. And then the other side that is related, but possibly kind of secondary, is the communication that happens around releases. It seems like there's some responsibility the product council has to share information about the development cycle, about the features of each release. You know, the RMS group is sharing a lot of info, but they do it in a certain way and they use more technical language and it's not always like layperson friendly. So maybe there's some translation work we can do there. And we would like to kind of come up with a plan, sort of a routine communication venue where we can, once we have a better understanding of how release management is operating, share that information with the community in a standardized way that folks will know to expect and be able to reference, you know, more community awareness and participation there. So we are currently in our first phase of work. We're looking at getting in touch with the RMS folks, kind of beginning our environmental scan there, and then we are attempting, or we're going to be drafting a sort of update about the Sunflower release that's like a highlights version, a human readable version of like, you know, the greatest hits. And that may be something we want to bring back to this group to have you look at before we distribute it more widely. Other group members, did I cover things adequately? Anything to add?
You summarized it very well, Autumn. I can just mention when we yesterday had the conversation about human-readable release notes, then it is when The format of the release digest right now is to list UX product numbers. And it is slide after slide after slide, and in total, more than 100 slides coming out of all the work done by the development team. And that is how, and I can speak for myself, I'm also in my development team, I think in these feature numbers, but it does not make sense for the users working with Folio every day. Here, it is really difficult to. Underneath all these numbers, to understand what is the new functionality I will see when we get the new release of Folio. So that is what we want to try to do some more have the target group much more clear in front of us when communicating all these improvements.
Alexis.
So this is sort of related to what you were all saying just now about the translating UX prods into real life functionality. At the when we went to the PO meeting yesterday, that's something that came up that on the dashboard, it's sometimes it's hard to see, because it's just tick it's tickets, right? Like, what does that mean? In relation to functionality, and that's sort of it's partially a non-developer PO problem, but I think it's also a problem for everybody. Like, what is this actually going to do? How is this actually going to help? And then, if the PC is doing our prioritization, do we even know what these tickets anyway? So this whole idea of like what is the actual real life functionality that these tickets are going to bring to the product, right? And that was something that we were like, oh, could there be something in the ticket that there's, I mean, sometimes there is, but like actually put like, I don't know, put something like an actual, I don't know, something that could be easily viewed of like this ticket is going to fix this pro, like I don't know what it should say. And there was some better language, and I have to look back at my notes, and maybe somebody else who was there yesterday could say, but it's really this very much like, what is this actually? What problem is this solving? What enhancement is this creating? Whatever. So yeah, this is something we've been hearing, we heard as well.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
And that's something we discussed, and I brought up kind of the feedback from the roadmap presentation at WolfCon, which again was very focused on UX prods and the these Jira issues. And there was one comment, the person said they just didn't understand. They don't speak Jira. They don't speak developer. They don't speak agile. I mean, these are foreign concepts. And I think forcing people to speak Jira is, that's not a route we should take. And and I'm glad the RMS group is trying to, taking on this task of kind of improving communication, but making it so that everyone can understand that. And I think that's very powerful, not just in terms of how we view a folio as a whole, LSP, but I think it also informs our roadmap and communicating our roadmap to not just people who are in folio, but also those who might be considering folio as a product, because it's something that they can relate to, because they probably aren't working with UX prod numbers as well, or even Jira. But it's something that we can actually advertise on the folio.org website. Right now, in the RMS group, we talked about this site just kind of being dead. Is if you look at folio.org, you're like, is this a real project? I mean, nothing's been published. I think the last one was we went to Lotus. Here's some content that we can share, via newsletters, via channels like the website, and get that kind of social media campaign going on that. But so I think there's some far-reaching impact just in this one kind of goal.
I see in the chat, Mark has a question about, aside from having a release manager for each release, is there a need for a technical writer or somebody to handle the documentation? Which is a great question. I mean, I think we have found in all of our discussions that pretty much documentation is lagging behind in every area of our effort because it takes a lot of work and time, and it's hard to maintain when you're trying to like do the work but also document the work. But I think that kind of gets to the question that we had in our group, like, could we recommend new roles, right? If we think that that would help with release management and communication. Could we say, you know, the Folio community needs to have a designated documentation role or something like that? Okay. Anything else? I can stop my share. All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Mark has a question. Mark has a comment or question.
Go ahead, Mark.
A comment, and this is related to what Autumn was saying about having a need for a release manager or a technical writer. I think as we are thinking of each new release, we may want to think of some permanent roles assigned to that particular release. So, release manager is one of those, and the skill set that's needed is strong project management skills because this person will be coordinating activities across multiple groups. Another role that may need to be assigned to a release would be technical writer, and this person would be asked to write up release notes in a human readable format and maybe even translate it into different languages. A third role, which is extremely important, would be a QA lead for a given release. Okay, and so if a QA lead knows what's in scope for a release, QA lead would rally the people across the community to help with testing or work with the development teams on developing additional automated testing, and so on. So basically, in thinking in terms of what's needed for a release and what are the roles that will span different phases of a life cycle, of a release life cycle, it may be advisable to have these permanent roles.
Great. Thank you. So I see we're getting close to the top of the hour, and that leaves us very little time. Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time to go through potential newsletter topics or to define agendas for the next two meetings. If we were to go to the, let me share my screen again. There we go. So next two meetings will really, that will be the 11th and the 18th. So we're getting very close to the holidays. Do we have topics already lined up?
On the calendar, so next week, the 11th, there's something there, RFID app developed by BVD,
Okay.
BVB. So that's on for next week. The only thing right now for the 18th is that the SIG convener written reports are due, but that's not something that we necessarily need to, you know, I mean, we should review them, but it's not a necessarily a big topic or anything. Oh,
Okay.
implementer SIG is next week.
That's what it says
Yeah.
on there.
Oh, that's what that says. Oh, it just says C implementer SIG. Oh, I
Yeah.
thought that was related to the RFID thing.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's all one because it's RFID app C implementer SIG.
Is that maybe
The
Thomas knows? Yeah.
RFID app was demoed at the implementer SIG.
Ah.
So there is a recording of that demo. I believe it was not the last meeting, but the possibly the meeting before. So there is a demo of a very complete demo of what they did.
Okay.
Great.
Cool.
Then we'll do a quick check of the Jira board. Don't really have anything. Workflow app, I believe, is still paused for a while. Right. So I think we'll have to, well, we have the RFID app. And there is the charter reviews that are still coming in. So perhaps they're one of the other working groups will be ready for their charter review.
And there are the action items we couldn't do.
Correct.
And, and maybe we could have the meeting calming for the, do a trial run, right?
Right. Okay. Or at least see if there's follow-up discussion and action items. Charlotte had agreed to share a proposal, so we'll see if she's if that's ready or if that's too soon. So it seems like we have some potential. So we have some topics for next time. All right. Are any of the things that have come up today, do they seem like potential newsletter candidates?
Todd, I'll jump in and say we had the at the tri-council meetings prior to WolfCon, we were discussing the idea of having a regular newsletter. And I don't know where that sits, given that I've been in a different dimension for several months. So if we could just pause on that, I'll find out where that is and whether we want to keep it on our agenda or not.
Okay, very good. Well, I think with that, we can, well, I'll ask, are there any final thoughts or questions? Okay, great. Then I think we've, oh, Jennifer just
Oh no,
unmuted.
I'm ready to sign off.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, thank you all very much.
She was gonna say, have a nice day, everybody, or a nice evening.
Exactly.
I
All
know. Goodbye,
right.
Thank
Y'all.
you.
Be well.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye.